out in our home, I think, spreads out to other people.
Your marriage just continues to go on and on and on.
Oh, sure, and affect generations after us.
I think it really sort of stabilizes your whole community. It's a cornerstone of a society, right?
Sounds like a good marriage goes a long way.
It touches a lot of people.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King. Merle Kelch is off ice fishing today, so we are joined by attorney Alan Haugum from the Haugum Law Firm here in Wausau. We're going to talk about some planning issues for end-of-life issues, things like that. And open for your questions as well, 715-845-2155. We want to open it to any legal question like we normally do.
I'm feeling pretty giddy this morning, Tom, so I would say any legal question is fair game. Bring it on. 845-2155.
All right. Some of these legal issues he might not have dealt with since law school, but he'll take a crack at them, right?
That sounds like a great... Actually, I was teaching at the law school a week ago.
Really?
Not this week, but I was back in the office this week. But the week before, I was teaching down to law school. I do it about every 2 or 3 years. We teach a week down there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a general skills class or a lawyering practice class, whatever they call it. And they split it up into about 10 or 11 different sessions. There's a criminal law session and a divorce session and a government law session. Well, for the estate planning session, I head down there and teach that. So we've have had a lot of exposure to the law school recently. So maybe that increases my general legal knowledge today.
Well, all right. And since we open it up, I would imagine we'll get lots of phone calls. Let's go to the phone immediately here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. This is Walter in Stevens Point.
Hey, go ahead. You're on with Alan.
Morning, Walter.
Morning. Thank you very much. My question today is, my son was struck down by a driver as he crossed in a crosswalk approximately 4.5 to 5 years ago. We did not pursue a lawsuit. There was no ticket given to the driver for a variety of small-town political police situations. And I'm just wondering, is there an open clause or a time limit on pursuing a legal matter in this situation?
Yes, that's actually a good question. I was dealing with this recently for a different client. And just for the record, Walter, I'll give you everything I know about this, but there are some people who know more about it. So maybe we can point you in that right direction, even off the air. But the basics is that you have a limit. It's called a statute of limitations for anything, that you can't be wronged by something today and then 37 years later decide that it went over the line and you want to seek some compensation or seek remedy or seek justice. So the state says that everyone has a right to have a period of time when they're susceptible to these kinds of actions, but after that period of time is done, after that statute of limitations has run, then it's over. And there are a few different things that can extend that. So first you start with the basic rules. And there are different statutes of limitations for just about every type of issue and matter in Wisconsin. And it's going to matter a little bit, Walter, as to which one your son falls into. So without more information, and probably the kind of information that would take too long on the radio today, we won't know for sure. But there's some basic ones, some that don't apply to your son but apply to other people. As a kind of an example would be contracts. Generally with contracts, you have about 6 years to pursue something. So if you had a contract with someone to work on your house or to sell a car or to do any kind of services or product, you have about 6 years generally to remedy that. Hopefully
okay.
You don't wait that long, but you could. With personal injury type issues, and I'm not saying that this is a personal injury situation because you just mentioned that your son was struck. You know, we didn't talk about if he was injured. If someone's struck but they're not injured, that might be different. Now, obviously, if you have a pedestrian being struck by a car, you know, we can do the math on that one. But generally, as far as I know, that there's generally a 3-year time limit. There are some things that can change that number, and the reason that's why we say generally, because it's not 3 years always, but the 3 years I would use as the starting point. But if there are any reasons why that can be extended or told, we call it, it's possible. It's, you know, the usually we don't want to rely on that because all of a sudden now people can have differences of opinion as to whether it should be extended. So I think the best thing, Walter, would be to call someone with expertise in this area. And down in your area, you've got a couple that are very good. We have some people up in our area here in Wausau that are very good, too. So if you need some a recommendation on that, maybe even, I was going to say, I could talk to you off the air, or you could even give my office a call on Monday. The phone number, quick, we'll tell you at the end of the show, but if you're not listening, the phone number is 715-843-5001, 843-5001, and I can help you point in the right direction.
Excellent answer. Thank you very much.
All right,
I really
thanks,
appreciate
Walter.
The summary.
All right, appreciate the call. Thanks very much. And, of course, as we know by watching every crime show on television, there is no statute of limitations for murder.
Right, that's one of the few. There's just a couple of capital crimes. Otherwise, even for crimes, you know, you'll have extensions of that for theft and all kinds of things. But, yeah, that's one where... So don't go out doing that this weekend, folks, because there's no statute of limitations.
All right, 715-845-2155. We've opened it up to any legal question this morning for Alan Haugum from the Haugum Law Firm here in Wausau. But you had some things you wanted to touch on regarding estate planning because, as you said when you walked in here, we talked about it, I think, the last time you were on the show,
right.
Some rule changes that took the legal industry in Wisconsin by surprise a little bit.
They did. You know, this really gets to some of the things we've talked about probably the last couple of years. When we talk about estate planning and elder law, my specialties, some of the big questions are what can you do tax-wise? But the taxes, I think, are more of an issue that can be dealt with and handled and you come to a right answer. The other questions that we've talked about on the show deal with protecting assets for elderly clients. And this particularly deals with, I get questions all the time, literally every week, almost every day, from clients who say, I'm concerned about myself or one of my family members. Can that family member give assets to another family member? And the way it usually works is, can parents give things to children, whether it's the house or assets or the farm or the family business or life insurance or money or anything? Can we give things to the kids? And, of course, you say, yes, you can give anything you want to anyone you want. But there are consequences if the state or the federal government has rules about the amount or the types of things you give. And Wisconsin turned our rules on their ear last summer. So we have a lot of confusion in the state. We have a lot of confusion just amongst the state bar as to what the legislature had done. The confusion was only increased as the fall went on, and hopefully we've come to a little bit of a resolution. But to give people the background, on June 30th, Wisconsin signed into law, both houses of our legislature passed it, and the governor signed it on June 30th, something called Act 20, which increased the amount of or the types of assets that the state could come and collect from a person who needed long-term care or who needed nursing home care and either gave those assets to a spouse or gave those assets to children. And these changes were pretty severe. And we don't want to go into all of them because they've been changed about two times or three times since then. So, but just to give you a little bit of the background, on June 30th, we signed this into law, and it was scheduled to go into effect on October 1st. So we had about a three-month period of time where every estate planning lawyer got taken by storm, started to sweat, and said for some of these things, it was the opinion of many in the state bar that they violated federal law, that they went beyond the maximum limits allowed by federal law. So that debate started to rage in Madison, and some of the leaders in the industry said that you can't let these go into effect on October 1st, because we're essentially in violation as of the first day. There's a committee down at the state. It's the Joint Committee on Finance, or sometimes they just call it the Finance Committee, that is charged with enforcing some of these rules. And due to the hard work of actually some of the lawyers down in the southern part of the state, really some selfless people who put a lot of time in, they tried to educate the legislature and educate this Joint Finance Committee and said, you can't enforce these because they're per se not allowed. So the Finance Committee had a meeting in September. Now, I think we signed this in June. It was scheduled to go into effect on October 1st. So in late September, there's a meeting, and the Finance Committee says, you're right, we can't enforce some of them So we agree with you on some of those, but we disagree with you on others. So some's going to go into effect and some isn't. This is October. In November...
These are legislators who may not be lawyers.
Correct.
Pretending to be lawyers.
They're, I think that's probably a good way to put it. And not saying that particular legislators are good, bad, or indifferent, but I think some of them were certainly confused, and I think a few of them may have had the wrong impression when they were passing this law in the first place. So, June 30th, they passed the law. September, they have a committee meeting that says, we're just not going to enforce some of them. Even though on October 1st, we're going to have a statute that gets published in the state statute books, there's a way that they publish these things, that says this is a brand new law, but don't worry, we're not going to enforce it. So how does that work? You know, you get so much uncertainty there. So in November, they had a new meeting of the entire legislature, and they passed some new rules that the governor signed in December. Now, think of the timeline here. We've got action in the last day in June, September, October, November, and now December. The governor passes a law that repeals some of the things that went into effect as of June and October. So we have had almost a washing machine of some of these rules. So if anyone says, I don't understand what they are, or my lawyer doesn't do this every day, but he or she thinks they know what they are, it really has become so intensely hyper-specific that it's difficult to be fully informed. It's almost a full-time job to do that.
When you were facing that deadline on October 1st, would you ever in any scenario tell a client, well, we're going to do this, it is technically against the law in the state of Wisconsin, but they say they're not going to enforce it? I mean, that leaves them vulnerable, doesn't it?
I think so, too. Yeah, it's now you're only as protected as the particular people on this Joint Finance Committee,
right,
who could be reelected or not elected, yeah, or die or... come into party disfavor and pushed out, or be in the minority party and not the majority party.
You know,
and all these things happen, and there's just no way that you can rely on that. So you tell clients, look, this is what the law says, but I don't think we can plan for it. So it really has become much more punitive in Wisconsin with regard to these things. And I think that's one that we probably need to try to clarify.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. First, we're going to take a break, though. We're talking to Alan Haugum from the Haugum Law Firm here in Wausau. If you have a question for Alan, give us a call, 715-845-2155. Back with more after this on WSAU.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896. That's 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There is no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The way you get your news has changed.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
The digital world
gives us information on demand.
But only one place takes every piece of information available.
Unemployment remains.
I'm Jimmy Fallon and I'll...
Near Earth asteroid.
And makes sense of it for you. Stay in the know.
We can't say.
News at the top and bottom of the hour.
We didn't know.
On WSAU.
We now all know.
And WSAU.com.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Alan Haugum, attorney at law, Haugum Law Firm here in Wausau, taking your questions. Before we get back to the topic we were discussing, let's go back to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. I'm talking with Mark.
Hey, Mark. You're on with Alan. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Good.
All right. I got a question for you. Some years back, you actually did an estate planning for my wife and I. My mother just recently died this July.
Okay.
And I have 6 sisters and a brother, and she had probably total of somewhere around maybe $110,000 in annuities, an insurance policy, which, by the way, had beneficiaries, you know, had us all, you know, set out as beneficiaries, so we each got separate checks for that.
Good.
And then she had some bank accounts, and there was just like $30 interest total for the year, so we got that, and anyway, it all came out to probably around $15,000 or something like that per child, okay, from brothers and sisters. Do we pay tax on any of that kind of stuff other than interest?
No, it's actually a good question. It's another one that we get quite a bit. When you receive an inheritance or when you received a distribution from someone's estate, they say, Mark, you are a beneficiary of this. You're going to receive X number of dollars. That's not taxable currently unless someone has a lot more in assets. And that number that you can give tax-free has bounced around a lot over about the last 15 or 18 years. It used to be about $600,000 was the limit. So $100,000, $110,000 were just fine. But they said if you had more than $600,000 back in the mid to late 90s, you had to pay a tax. Well, that number went up and up, and then it came down, and it went up, and they threatened to bring it down. And finally, about a year ago, January 1st of 2013, the federal government raised it and put it at a little over $5 million.
Oh.
So what they did is they just said, we're a little bit sick of bouncing this number around every year and the uncertainty that brings, so we're just going to set it at a higher number. We're going to tie it to inflation. So actually, as of this year, and I don't need to write this down specifically because it's going to change next year, but as of this year, you can give $5,340,000 free per person when you die. So that means if your mom dies and she's got $5,340,000, it doesn't matter if she has one child or 7 children, it's free. It doesn't matter how many beneficiaries, it's based on the number of people dying. So she is absolutely, without a doubt, okay.
Okay, so but the interest that is on those accounts, that $20-some or whatever, we do have to pay tax on that interest,
yeah,
though, don't we?
That's the second question. And what happens with that is, and just for everyone out there, just to clarify, the estate tax, if you're under $5,340,000, is zero. But the income tax, in one way or another, is probably going to get just about everybody. And how it happens is, first, let's talk about the bank account. The bank account at death just is distributed to you. So if mom has a $7,000 bank account and each of 7 kids gets $1,000, no tax there. The principal that gets distributed is free, free of tax.
Right.
You just put it in your bank account and you carry on. But the interest, and oftentimes there's interest as of your mom's date of death, and they might say, okay, well, there's interest as of mom's date of death, so we have to file a tax return in mom's name or possibly even in the estate name, although we'll talk about that. But we file a tax return in your mom's name up until the date of her death and have to pay all of the income tax on the income she had in her last year of life or her partial last year of life. Now, if your mom had assets the way you talked about, unless she had incredibly high Social Security and pension benefits, she probably doesn't have to pay an income tax because her amount of income is less than the threshold.
Right.
So she's probably okay.
She hasn't paid income tax for years now. She was 92.
Exactly, yeah, so she's fine. What happens is when it comes to you, there's two types of income that you have to deal with, that you and your brothers and sisters have to deal with. One is, on those bank accounts, if mom died in July, and it took you a while, you didn't get this all nailed down, you didn't get the situation figured out for 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, and
right.
interest accrues on the money that mom had as of her death. It accrues in that bank account until it gets distributed. So if
mm-hmm.
she dies on July 1st, but you don't distribute this till December because it took a while to pay the bills, then there's interest, her post-death interest, has to be accounted for either on an estate income tax return in the estate of your mom, or we just distribute all the interest to the seven of you, and then each of you throw a little bit of that on your tax return. So you're right
that's
about
it.
That. You should tell your
right.
CPA about it as you're doing your taxes this year.
Right. So, that's the way we did it. I was actually executor of the will, and it took probably about 3 months before I was able to get all the paperwork and jump through all the hoops to get the money out of each institution.
Yeah, that's
and you know what I mean, and then getting all the papers signed, get everything, have them fill out their parts, send them all in, and like I said, totally there was only like about $30-some interest because you know bank accounts give you zip for
right.
any kind of interest, and so that $30-some total is divided between the eight of us, so it isn't much. It's like a couple bucks or a few dollars a piece.
The thing where you might have, just to take a look at, or even for other listeners out there, if we talk about the estate tax, we're not worried about that under $5 million. Mark, you know, there's no, the interest up until the date of your mom's death, we got that covered. The interest post-death, like you said, the $30 gets divided among seven kids. The only other thing for you, or really from other people out there, is you had mentioned something about annuities, and sometimes annuities just don't pay any income tax each year. Someone might have a $100,000 annuity that just keeps gaining interest and gaining interest and gaining interest and gaining interest.
Right.
And there's
right.
no tax paid until you take the money out. So all of a sudden your mom dies and the IRS says, wait a minute, your mom never took the money out. Now we're giving it to the kids. And there's some rules about the kids having to pay the tax when they receive it.
Yes.
So that one you definitely have to deal with. It's really very similar to the rules about 401k plans and IRAs. If anyone
okay.
inherits those, you say, absolutely, someone has to pay the income tax on that. And if your parent didn't, the kids do. So annuities,
okay.
401ks, IRAs, all those retirement plans are going to work that way, Mark. But that's actually a pretty good question.
That was easy because yeah, when they sent us the new annuities, they stated on each one of our papers that they of our breakdown of what how much we got,
good.
That there was a certain amount of that money that was taxable.
Very good. And yeah, just hand that to the CPA.
Right, so we just passed it on to the accountant to take care of it, you know, and say
all
this
right.
is taxable, and there you go.
All yeah, right.
That was easy.
Evan, okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. We need to take a break for some news, but we'll come back. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Alan, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange. Then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts. Line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News now. From AM 550, FM 99.9,
WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. Kiev appears to be under the control of the opposition this morning. This after embattled Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych signed an agreement Friday that calls for early elections. But that was yesterday, and so far today there's been no sign of Yanukovych. A top opposition leader says the president has left Kiev, his whereabouts are not known, and his offices appear to have been abandoned. The Obama administration continues to keep an eye on the situation. Meanwhile, the Dalai Lama's visit to the White House is not sitting well with China, so much so that the charge d'affaires of the U.S. Embassy in China was summoned by Beijing on Friday night. This after the president met privately with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader earlier in the day. A Wausau business owner has been entered into a plea agreement after being accused of selling synthetic marijuana. 48-year-old John Rundell operates Blazing Gifts on Wausau's 6th Street. Police caught him with 138 packages of the banned substance in October of 2011. Synthetic marijuana, usually a mixture of dried herbs with chemical additives, was legal until late in 2010 when a Wausau ordinance banned sales. The Badger hockey team beat Michigan State last night 5-2. They'll try again this afternoon. You can hear the game right here, pregame show at 3:30. That'll be following Badger basketball as they take on Iowa. Pregame show this morning right here at 10 o'clock. The Badger women's hockey team beat Minnesota State Mankato 5-1. They'll play again tonight. And you can check out the entire high school scoreboard and today's schedule on our website at WSAU.com. The weather forecast, we're looking for partly sunny, breezy, and cold conditions today with a high only up to 15. An overnight low tonight going down to 1 above. For Sunday, partly to mostly sunny, still cold, a high of just 13 with an overnight low of 3 below. And then Monday, partly cloudy, continued cold with a high of just 10 above. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Badgers basketball is hot.
The Evans screen, three in the air, right of the circle, book.
Badgers hockey is cool.
And shoots and scores. They have gone off.
Central Wisconsin's Badgers sports station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Today, it's late afternoon hockey from the Kohl Center as the Badgers take on Michigan State. The pregame show starts at 3:30. The puck drops at 4. On News Talk Sports, WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with attorney Alan Haugum here, taking your legal questions this morning. And I see the phone lighting up again. We'll probably never get to the original topic we were going to talk about.
Get there. I'll come back another week, Tom.
Let's go back to the phone. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Patty.
Hi, Patty. You're on with Alan. Go ahead.
Patty.
Good. I was wondering about the changes that were made to the elder law starting like June 30th to the end of the year.
Right.
And I wanted to know if they can recover funds from property that was given as a life estate back in 97, did they change any part of that there is a time limit, a look-back period that, you know, they have to stop at?
Well, Patty, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is Tom King is smiling now because we are back on topic. This is exactly what we were going to be talking about after the break, so you are very helpful.
Thank you.
That's the good news. The bad news is, I think, everything else as an answer to this question. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, so I apologize in advance for if this applies to you or anyone else, but I think it's important to understand, if that makes sense. What the state has said, and this might be a long, convoluted answer, but it's something we have to talk about anyway. For anyone out there who doesn't know what a life estate is, the problem that comes with this, or where this has come from, is people would say, they used to say, and I certainly hope people don't do this anymore, but it might be out there. People would say, I want to transfer my home to my children. But if I need nursing home care, long-term nursing home care, the state can attach my house and use that to pay for this care, and I can be wiped out, and my kids will never get anything. The biggest asset I have for a lot of people is just the house. Now, we'll get into businesses and farms and all those kinds of things, but even just the house. And you say, can I transfer my house to my kids? And sure, you can give anything to anyone, Patty. Anyone can, and I can, you can. So someone can transfer the house to the kids, and the parents, almost in the same breath, say, but wait a minute, if I transfer my house to my kids, what if one of them dies? Well, then it goes to their spouse, who you may or may not like. Or what if one of them gets divorced? Well, then half of their share may or may not be included in some divorce proceedings. Or what if? We have had kids who parents transferred the house to the kids, and the kids kick the parents out. Completely legal. It's a horrible scenario, and thankfully that was rare, but it's just gut-wrenching in some dysfunctional family life there. But so parents would say, now wait a minute, I want to give the house to the kids, but I want to make sure that the kids can never kick me out. I want to make sure that if one of the kids gets divorced, it doesn't screw up me being able to live there. I want to make sure that I am there for the rest of my lifetime. Can you make that happen? And we say, yes, we could. We could reserve a life estate. I'm not saying this was a good idea even back then, but it was very common. So the parents would say, I give the house to my two children, but I reserve, or we reserve, a life estate, which means we reserve the right to live there for the rest of our lives. And everybody said, okay, sounds good. The benefit of this was that if the parents needed nursing home care later, and there were some tax benefits and other things that, but the main benefit was if the parents needed nursing home care later, the nursing home would say, or the state would say, dear parents, do you own a house? And they said, no, we don't own a house. We're just living in a house that the kids own. You know, and they know that they gave it to the kids because it's a public record. It's real estate records. We gave it to the kids 10 years ago. So we're way beyond our three-year rule, the old three-year rule, the new five-year rule, 10-year rules. We're beyond all of it. Gave it to the kids long ago. We need nursing home care, and the state says, okay, we're not going to count that house against you. We're not going to attempt to take the house. We're not going to penalize you for the house because you gave it away so long ago. Come on in. And the state would pay for, you know, issues. The state would pay through medical assistance or the Medicaid program for the parents' nursing home care. The life estate didn't count against them. Now, there were some tax issues. They had to figure out if the kids are going to sell the house, you know, all those things that never really made this a smooth transaction all the time anyway. But at least the nursing home wouldn't take it if you didn't sell it while the parents were living. So parents need nursing home care. State pays for the nursing home care at $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 or now $8,000 a month. And we were okay, at least with the house. And for a lot of people, that's all they cared about. They spent every other nickel that they had in the world to pay for their nursing home care, but at least the house was protected. And then when the parents died 6 months later, a year later, 5 years later, it didn't matter. The state said, okay, you know, we're just going to let that house pass to the kids. The life estate, or the right that the parents have to live there, extinguishes. It's gone because the parents died. There's no more right to live there during your lifetime because there is no more lifetime, in a sense. That the life estate is extinguished and the house is now owned solely by the children, and the children can sell it after the parents died, essentially for no tax even. So it worked out really well. It was a good way to transfer the house to the kids if you did it soon enough. What the state, though, always recognized, they said, well, you had that life estate. We're just not going to deal with it, with the value of it. And, Patty, think about it this way. If you have a house and your parents gave you the house, they just gave it to you outright, and you wanted to sell that house. It's a $100,000 house for easy math, if that's okay. $100,000 house for easy math, and if your parents gave it to you, you could sell it. And, you know, you talk to me, and you say, hey, Alan, you want to buy a house? And I say, yeah, Patty, I'm in the market for a house. How much you want for that? And you say, well, it's a $100,000 house. I'll sell it to you for $100,000. And I say, Patty, you're crazy. There's no way I'd buy that house for $100,000 because your parents are living there, and your parents have a life estate. The life estate means that your parents can live in that house for the rest of their lifetimes. I can't even set foot on that property until after your parents have both passed away. Mm-hmm. So, I know this is an exciting answer. The phone's hitting the deck and everything. No, we're just kidding, Patty. But you say, you know, if you're trying to sell me that house, I'd say, Patty, I'll never give you $100,000 for it because your parents are living in it. I'm going to have to get some type of discount to make up for the fact that I can't get into that property until after your parents' lifetime. And I don't know if they're going to live 10 more years or 20 more years or 35 more years, but you're going to have to give me some kind of discount just to entice me to buy the house. And the state said that discount changed depending on how old your parents were, just based on the age, you know, their month and year of birth, because they have a life expectancy. And it was a pretty significant discount. So what the state said was, if your parents, and we'll just pick on your parents, we'll use a nice round number and say your parents are 82 years old, and the state says that 40% is the appropriate discount on that house. That if you have an 82-year-old living in the house, even one 82-year-old living in the house, that 40% of the value of the house is the right to live there for the rest of the 82-year-old's lifetime. So that means that if you're going to sell me the house, the state thinks the appropriate sale price would be $60,000. $100,000 house minus a 40% discount, $60,000, because there's an 82-year-old living there. Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you because you say you're not going to sell the house. Doesn't matter. And if your parents died after they needed their nursing home care and the state helped pay for their nursing home care, didn't matter because the life estate went away. Well, as of last year, and this is where we bring it back to 2013 and 14, the state says they are going to collect the value of that life estate after your parents die. And you say, wait a minute. Now, this doesn't take effect for people unless they've died after July 1st of 2014. So it's only for people who need nursing home care, the state's paid for your nursing home care, and those parents die, or the second parent dies after July 1st of 2014. But the state says if your parents died or your second parent died after that period of time, at 82 years old, and now the house is fully in your names, then they say they're going to treat it differently than they used to. They say after your parents die, Patty, they want you to pay them 40% of the value of the house if your parent was 82 years old. And you say, wait a minute, they gave me that house back in 1997. This is way past our five-year rules. We're going to talk about a 10-year rule, and believe it or not, I think we have something that is essentially a 15-year rule, Tom. I'll explain the math on that one if we get time today. But you say, we're past all those time periods. It was 97. This is way past that. My parents passed away. They gave me the house. I'm selling it after they died, and the state says if your parents were 82, they still want 40%. As they get older, they want a smaller percentage. When you get to 88, it's 30%, roughly. So you're saying, wait a minute, an 88-year-old, we still have to pay 30% of the value of the house? And you do. And that's after July 1st of 2014. That one kicks in. So this is for Tom, Patty, and everybody else out there, this is one example of how these laws have changed, and they really are going to touch a lot of people. And the reason that they can do this, some people say, wait a minute, we gave that house to the kids more than 5 years ago. We're way past that look-back period that we've talked about a lot. And the state says, well, granted, you gave away the remainder interest to the kids. You gave away Patty's 60% 16 or 20 years ago. But the parents have always held that life estate. In fact, the parents still own something called a life estate, and now we want that. So if your parents say, well, we're going to give the life estate to Patty and her siblings now and give up the right to live there, or give up that guaranteed right to live there.
And just hope they don't kick us out.
And exactly. And just hope and pray that they don't get kicked out. Now we have a brand new five-year rule, at least brand new five-year rule that starts today. It really is just feels dirty. So anyway, regardless, but that I would say is the basic. Does that make a little bit of sense, Patty?
It does.
Not saying we agree with it, but did that explanation make just a tiny amount of sense?
It did. I guess I was hoping that, you know, perhaps through the last half of, you know, 2013, that perhaps they would honor the terms at the time when that life estate was put in place.
We would certainly have hoped so. And like we said, this hasn't affected any resident of the state of Wisconsin yet, because it doesn't affect people until after, I believe they still have the same date of July 1st of 2014 for this one. But, as soon as that date comes and goes, it will start affecting people. So.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
715-845-2155. And I suppose if you just ignore it and say, I'm not doing it, they'll find you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is one where they're going to, on the forms, you know, they have forms that you fill out basically on the penalty of perjury that says, I under oath swear that I have this. Plus, it's a real estate record.
Oh, that little perjury thing. That little lying under oath thing where you can go to prison. And
we don't like that. I would never, ever, ever, ever falsify any of those documents, people, because it just don't do it.
All right. 715-845-2155. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more. Phone lines are open. If you want to talk to Alan this morning, give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
It's Practical Polly Radio. I've switched to cooking with healthier oils. So now what do I do with all these tubs of lard? Skinny jeans feeling too tight. A bit of lard on your hips and thighs and those pants slide on like a dream. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is a national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Introducing the neighbor you didn't know you had.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. I didn't even know you existed.
Hi. Seth Mila.
It's idiots like that guy that give responsible gun ownership a problem. You can't shoot somebody just because they're egging your car.
My car is my baby.
Dude, you got one ugly baby.
Talking about what matters to both of you on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with attorney Alan Haugum from the Haugum Law Firm here in Wausau, to take your questions. Pinch hitting for Merle Kelch today. Merle is supposedly freezing out on an ice fishing shack somewhere. I find that a bit hard to believe on a morning like this.
I think we're going to need some written documentation there, evidence of that.
Yeah, a note from his fishing guide or something. Do they have fishing guides for ice fishing? Or
I don't
basically
think you need them. I don't think that's the point.
All right. You're probably right. 715-845-2155. Give us a call here this morning. We've opened it up to any legal question. Alan is an attorney. He didn't just stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. He did go to law school, and he can basically take a shot at any of your legal questions, although estate planning law, elder law, is his specialty. That's why we've been talking about some of the changes here in Wisconsin. Anything else that you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, we have, you know, one of the, and there is lots of them, and, you know, with 10 minutes left in the show, we're not going to be able to get to many today. But that's okay. We'll continue the conversation another day. The one that is tripping a few people up is something that we call, it was going by a few different names, but it's essentially called the look forward. We have the 5-year look back period. We have the 5-year penalty period. Now, in addition, we have the 5-year look forward period. I certainly hope nobody runs into all three of them, but it's possible now, and I think if we have time before the end of the show, we can talk about that.
All right, but we do have a couple of phone calls here. Actually, the phones are lighting up with legal questions this morning.
Good.
Let's go to the phone. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is John, Tom.
Hey, John.
You?
Good. You're on with
Merle. Oh,
you're on with Alan. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, on the last caller about the life estate and getting the house, is it feasible to give a house to your children and then sign a, say, a 40-year lease to the house as a rental?
You've touched on something, John, that some folks have thought about. What John's question is, can you give essentially a life lease? And some people have done this. Some people think that, I won't give you my opinion one way or the other today, but that life estates were never a good idea because there were tax problems with them. And they said, we would rather give this life lease. And you say, okay, that can work. So if you give the house to the kids, but the parents
say, we're not going to keep a life estate.
We're not going to keep a sentence in the deed that the state says we can collect on. We're just going to draft a lease that says it's an annual lease that renews every year until someone dies. And their rent payments are exactly equal to the taxes and utilities and the upkeep of the house. And you say, okay, mom and dad keep paying the exact same bills they paid before, but it's not a life estate. I think that's certainly a possibility, John. I think some people are going to do that, frankly. One of the problems with that is you don't get what's called a step up in basis at death. And that's the one thing we didn't talk about with Patty because we talked about everything else. But one of the tax benefits, one of the few benefits of a life estate is that if mom and dad, I talked to some clients, they've paid $30,000 for their house in about 1972, which frankly is probably a lot for a house then. They could have got it for less. But they paid $30,000 for a house in 1972. Their house is now worth $132,000. So there's $100,000 worth of gain. If they transfer the house to the kids and keep a life estate and die with, you know, still with that life estate intact, the state says we're going to step up the basis, the cost basis, to $132,000, no tax for the kids. The kids can sell it the next day for zero tax. If, though, they didn't have the life estate, there's going to be $100,000 of capital gain. And you say, ugh, that's no good. But I think one of the things you have to weigh is you say, well, $100,000 of capital gain at a 15% federal tax or maybe a 19% combined tax, that might be better than paying a 30 or 40% life estate value. So those are the real conversations that we're having, John. I think there's a better way to do it yet than either one of those where you can get the best of both worlds, but maybe one day we'll talk about that on the show. But I think you're a step in the right direction.
All right, let's go back to the phone here. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Oh, this is Rodney.
Hi, Rodney. You're on with Alan. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Well, you kind of covered already a little bit what I want to talk about. I've found it through past experience that there's certain laws that the local law enforcement doesn't want to enforce.
Right.
Where do you go from there?
Are you talking about in the elder law kind of context, or do you mean certain things like speeding traps or?
Criminal law, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, and again, I don't practice criminal law, and this is one of the reasons, is there's so much discretion on the part of local prosecutors, and sometimes prosecutors say, look, it's going to cost us so much money, or it's going to cost us so much manpower or woman power to get this proven, he did it, this guy did it, and we know he did it, and he should be punished for it. But if they think that the time and energy to prove that he or she committed a crime is more than the actual penalty for the crime is worth, they will overlook it, and that has gone on since time immemorial. I mean, since the first law was passed, some people have started ignoring it, and that's the way it is, and I don't know that there's anything we're ever going to do about it. It's a difficult situation, but, you know, maybe it's just you just keep pestering and pestering and pestering and pestering and pestering whoever it is that makes that decision.
Until they finally want you to go away and they do something about it.
They might decide that dealing with you
now
takes more time than what if they just figured out the law. And
thanks
to goodness, I don't know if there's a better answer than that, Rodney.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's see, sneak one more call in here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. This is Bob.
Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Morning, Bob.
Hi, Alan. Alan, I have an investment I made a number of years ago, and it's about doubled.
Oh, good.
I can collect it, or it has its debt benefits to the same amount. If I withdraw it, I know I pay taxes on the gain.
Okay.
What about death benefits? Are they taxed?
Well, it depends on what type of investment it is, Bob. Is it real estate, or is it an IRA, or is it an annuity or life insurance?
It's the Scudder Destinations, and it's in three different areas, the large cap, multi-cap.
So it's a mutual fund.
Right.
Yeah, if Scudder, for everyone, is just a mutual fund company, or I shouldn't say just a mutual fund company. Apparently they're successful for Bob. Now, it depends on how long you've had it. If you had it a few years, that's good. If you had it for 50 years, maybe it's a little bit slower growing. But we say it's doubled. Regardless, it's doubled. So what happens with that is if it's in an IRA or a 401K or a 457 deferred comp plan or a 403B TSA for teachers and things like that, any of those, if you sell it during your lifetime, you pay the tax. If you give it to someone at your death and they sell it during their lifetime, they pay the tax. So that's out. If it's an IRA or any qualified plan or some similar to a qualified plan, those everybody pays tax on, Bob. But if it's not in a qualified plan, if it's just in your name and it's under your Social Security number and what we call after-tax money, where you have to pay taxes on the dividends every year, but the gain has increased and it's just in your Social Security number, if you sell it, you have to pay capital gains tax on all of the capital gain. As long as you've held it for more than 1 year, it's long-term capital gain. If it's less than 1 year, you pay a short-term capital gain, which is just your basic ordinary income tax rates. But if you held it for more than 1 year, you pay long-term capital gain rates, and you say, okay, I'll do it. But if you don't need the money, you can say, I'm not going to take it out during my lifetime, and if that's the asset that transfers at death, at your death, you get an artificial step up in basis. I call it artificial because it's just a law that says you get a step up in basis, so that the value as of the date of your death is the new value for tax purposes, and your beneficiaries can sell it the very next day for zero tax.
Oh, okay.
So this is one where sometimes people have had Coca-Cola stock for 50 years, and they'll say, "I'm going to keep that, give it to the kids at death." Now there's other issues you have to deal with, but. But if that's it, if you say you don't need the money, that's good. If you do need the money, Bob, I want you to take it out, pay the tax, and go on vacation and enjoy it. It's your money,
and you
enjoy it. Don't just hold it so someone can get an inheritance. All right. Have fun.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. All right. We're just about out of time here for today. If folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
I'd say the easiest ways are two, probably the Internet or the phone. Our phone number is area code 715-843-5001, 715-843-5001, it is our website, which is www.haugumlaw.com. Haugum Law is spelled H-O-U-G-U-M-L-A-W, H-O-U-G-U-M-L-A-W.com.
All right, we'll talk to you again down the road. I'm sure you'll be pinch hitting for Merle here as we get closer to spring fishing and all of that stuff as well.
I think that'll make a good idea. We can continue this conversation.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Alan. We are just about out of time here for today. We've got the news on the way, and then a shortened edition of the Polka Show because we've got Badger basketball for you this morning. The Badgers taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes on the road, and the pregame show coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. And then later this afternoon, Badger hockey, an afternoon contest with Michigan State. Pregame show at 3:30 this afternoon for that. All coming up right here on WSAU.
Talk sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Ukraine's president, Viktor Yanukovych, has left the capital, Kiev, claiming his opponents are attempting a coup. A deal with his opponent cedes some power. His headquarters now occupied by protesters.
The presidential administration this morning, which has previously been one of the most heavily fortified sites in this city, today it is in the hands of the protesters. They have repainted the concrete barricades in the colors of the national flag, and they say they're holding it now on behalf of the people. They are...